hello, hello. Here's Marlanka again with another episode, this time continuing with Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now. The origin of this book. He begins with, I'm little use for the past, and rarely think about it. However, I would briefly like to tell you how I came to be a spiritual teacher and how this very book came into existence. Until my 30th year, I lived in a state of almost continuous anxiety, interspersed with periods of suicidal depression. It feels now as if I am talking about some past lifetime or someone else's life. One night, not long after my 29th birthday, I woke up in the early hours with a feeling of absolute dread. I had awakened with such a feeling many times before, but this time it was more intense than it had ever been. The silence of the night, the vague outlines of the furniture in the dark room, the distant noise of a passing train, how everything felt so alien, so hostile, and so utterly meaningless that it created in me a deep loathing of the world. But the most loathsome thing of all, however, was my own existence. What was the point in continuing to live with this burden of misery? Why carry on with this continuous struggle? I could feel that a deep longing for annihilation, non-existence, was now becoming much stronger than the instinctive desire to continue to live. I cannot live with myself any longer, was the thought that kept repeating itself in my mind. But suddenly I became aware of what a peculiar thought it was. Am I one or two? If I cannot live with myself, why, there must be two of me. The I and the self that I cannot live with. Maybe only one of them is real. Well, I was so stunned by this strange realization that my mind stopped. I was fully conscious, but there were no more thoughts. Then I felt drawn into what seemed like a vortex of energy. It was a slow movement at first and then accelerated. I was gripped by an intense fear and my body began to shake. I heard the words, resist nothing, as if spoken inside my chest. I could feel myself being sucked into a void. It felt as if the void was inside myself rather than outside. But suddenly, there was no more fear, and I let myself fall into that void. I have no recollection of what happened after that. I was awakened by the chirping of a bird outside the window. I had never heard such a sound before. My eyes were still closed, and I saw the image of a precious diamond. Yes, if a diamond could make a sound, this is what it would be like. I opened my eyes. The first light of dawn was filtering through the curtains. Without any thought, I felt, I knew that there is infinitely more to light than we realize. That soft luminosity filtering through the curtains was love, love itself. Tears came into my eyes. I got up and walked around the room. I recognized the room, and yet I knew that I had never truly seen it before. Everything was fresh and pristine, as if it had just come into existence. I picked up things, a pencil, an empty bottle, marveling at the beauty and aliveness of it all. That day, I walked around the city in utter amazement at the miracle of life on earth, as if I had just been born into this world. For the next 5 months, I lived in a state of uninterrupted deep peace and bliss. After that, it diminished somewhat in intensity, or perhaps it just seemed to, because it became my natural state. I could still function in the world, although I realized that nothing I ever did could possibly add anything to what I already had. I knew that something profoundly significant had happened to me, but I didn't understand it at all. It wasn't until several years later, after I had read spiritual texts and spent time with spiritual teachers, that I realized that what everybody was looking for had happened to me. I understood that the intense pressure of suffering that night must have forced my consciousness to withdraw from its identification with the unhappy and deeply fearful self, which is ultimately a fiction of the mind. This withdrawal must have been so complete that this false suffering self immediately collapsed, just as if a plug had been pulled out of an inflatable toy. What was left then was my true nature as the ever-present I am. Consciousness in its pure state prior to identification with form. Later, I also learned to go into that inner timeless and deathless realm that I had originally perceived as a void and remain fully conscious. I dwelt in states of such indescribable bliss and sacredness that even the original experience I just described pales in comparison. A time came when, for a while, I was left with nothing on the physical plane. I had no relationships, no job, no home, no socially defined identity. I spent almost 2 years sitting on park benches in a state of the most intense joy. But even the most beautiful experiences come and go. More fundamental, perhaps, than any experience is the undercurrent of peace that has never left me since then. Sometimes it is very strong, almost palpable, and others can feel it too. At other times it is somewhere in the background, like a distant melody. Later, people would occasionally come up to me and say, "I want what you have. Can you give it to me or show me how to get it?" And I would reply, "You have it already. You just can't feel it because your mind is making too much noise." That answer later grew into the book that we are currently reading. Before I knew it, I had an external identity again. I had become a teacher, a spiritual teacher. This book, The Power of Now, represents the essence of my work, as far as it can be conveyed in words, with individuals, small groups of spiritual seekers during the years in Europe, in North America. And in deep love and appreciation, I would like to thank those exceptional people for their courage and willingness to embrace inner change. Thought that keeps repeating itself in the mind. And then I recalled that peculiar thought, "Am I one or two? And if I cannot live with myself, there must be two of me, the I and the self that I cannot live with, and that only one of them can be real." I trust that these truths will find their way to those who are ready for such radical inner transformation, and so act as a catalyst for it. And I also hope that it will reach many others who will find its content worthy of consideration, although they may not be ready to fully live or practice it. But it's possible that at a later time the seed that was sown when hearing, reading this book will merge with the seed of enlightenment that each human being carries within. And that suddenly, as seeds will, that seed will sprout and come alive within them. The dialogue in the book continuously alternates between two different levels. On one level, I draw your attention to what is false in you, and I speak of the nature of human unconsciousness and dysfunction, as well as its most common behavioral manifestations, from conflict in relationships to warfare between tribes and nations. Now, such knowledge is vital, for unless you learn to recognize the false, as not you, there can be no lasting transformation. And always you would wind up being drawn back into illusion and some form of pain. Now on this level, I'll also show you how not to make that which is false in you into a self and into a personal problem, for that is how false perpetuates falsity. And on another level, I speak of a profound transformation of human consciousness, not as a distant future possibility, but available now, no matter who or where you are. You're shown how to free yourself from enslavement to the mind and enter into this enlightened state of consciousness and sustain it in everyday life. On this level of the book, the words are not always concerned with information, but often are designed to draw you into this new consciousness. Again and again, I endeavor to take you with me into that timeless state of intense conscious presence in the now, so as to give you a taste of enlightenment. And until you are able to experience what I speak of, you may find those passages somewhat repetitive. But I believe you will realize that they contain a great deal of spiritual power. Moreover, since every person carries the seed of enlightenment within, I address myself to that knower in you who dwells behind the thinker, the deeper self that immediately recognizes spiritual truth, resonates with it, and gains strength from it. The meaning of certain words, such as being or presence, may not be entirely clear at first. Continue reading. Questions, objections may occasionally come into your mind as you read, but they will be answered later in the book, or they may turn out to be irrelevant as you go more deeply into the teaching and into yourself. All I can tell you is that I remind you of who you are and what you have forgotten. Living knowledge, ancient and yet ever new, is then activated and released from within every cell of your body. Now the mind always wants to categorize and compare and make judgment. But this book, these teachings, will work better for you if you do not attempt to compare its terminology with that of other teachings. When I use words such as mind, happiness, consciousness, in ways that do not necessarily correlate with other teachings, your mission is not to get attached to any words. The words are only stepping stones to be left behind as quickly as possible. Occasionally, I shall quote the words of Jesus or of the Buddha, or from A Course in Miracles, or from other teachings, not in order to compare, but to draw your attention to the fact that in essence there is, and always has been, only one spiritual teaching, although it comes in many forms. When I quote from the ancient religions or other teachings, it's to reveal their deeper meaning and thereby restore their transformative power. There's no need to go elsewhere for the truth. You will see how to go more deeply into what you already have. We shall continue with the next episode, More of the Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. Next time, thank you for tuning in. And may these words be like a seed that sprouts in you. And may you understand that you have a choice. You can listen to the voice in the head, or you can recognize it for what it is. Simply a voice in the head. Bye for now.
This is Oroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.